Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you're so richly giving unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. Truth of God's word is taught with precision, with accuracy. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. At the end of today's meeting, our saints were edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. We started looking at something on Wednesday, which is a phase of the entire series we've been looking at, which is the salvation series. 2 Timothy 3:15. On Wednesday, we had a little gist on Job, right? On Wednesday, we had a very brief compared to what we need to teach in Job. So in fact, I titled that teaching a little. Have you seen the teaching online? Okay, I've uploaded it online a while ago. So I titled the teaching a little gist on Job. But later we'll have a more extensive gist. Are we together on Job? We're just able to touch a few things about Job. Remember what we're talking about? When Eliphaz, the Temanite, was admonishing Job to what? Lay gold as what? Dust. Remember that? Lay gold as dust. And you know, a lot of us charismatics, Pentecostals, and tongue-speaking, fire-branded people, you know, think that that is a scripture that suggests that the believer would have so much gold such that it would look like dust. Right? And you know, we just saw that Eliphaz was just admonishing him and saying, you know what? You have a heart of materialism. Right? Lay up your gold as dust and let God be your treasure. A very brief gist. Then we spoke about Job and how Job was a very wealthy man. Was Job wealthy? Job had 7,000, right? 7,000 cows, 7,000 whatever, 3,000 these, 500 oxes and all of those things. You know, very wealthy man. Had seven sons and three daughters. You know, and you know, Job is an example to the believer to show that you don't need Christ to have money. Are we together? Job is a typical example to the believer that as a believer, you don't need to believe in the resurrection or believe in Christ to have money. Another very interesting example, if you read through Genesis 12, 13, 14, you realize that Pharaoh wanted to take Abraham's wife to be his wife. Are we together? And what did Pharaoh do? He tried to, thinking that Pharaoh, Sarah was Abraham's sister, he tried to settle Abraham. So Pharaoh had the ability to make Abraham wealthy. Are we together? Yeah, he had the ability because of the social economical status he had the power to make a man wealthy. So men can make other men wealthy without them being believers. Are we together? So we had a brief little gist. Let me emphasize again. We had a little gist on Job. Now this morning we're going to pay attention to a few things and I'll just give an introduction on Sodom and Gomorrah. Are we here? Yeah, so we'll just have a little gist. Okay, let me call this already ahead. So this is a little gist on Sodom and Gomorrah. Praise God. Have we read 2 Timothy this morning? Not yet, but you're there, right? So let's read together. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Let's read verse 15 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And that from a child thou art known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's read verse 16 together. 1, 2, 3, go. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness. Verse 17, 1, 2, 3, go. That the man of God may be perfect. So, the essence of scriptures is for you to be wise regarding the subject matter, what? Salvation. So, we need to read scriptures and see how God saves. Are we together? So, we need to read scriptures to see and understand how God saves. You see, the believer cannot run away from reading scriptures. You hear that? The believer, the only way you grow. You know that song where we're singing, we usually sing when we're growing up, right? Let's sing together. Read your Bible, pray every day. If you want to, so let's sing together. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want. So look at anybody and say, if you want to grow, let's sing the second part. If you want to grow, if you want to grow, read your Bible, pray every day, pray. Look at your neighbor, read your Bible, pray every day, if you want to. Now, how many of you know Ephesians 1:17? I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, may give unto you, right? The spirit of wisdom, that is the wisdom of the Spirit, that is the revelation in the knowledge of Him, that your eyes of understanding may be what? Enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, right? Now, you know the answer to that prayer? What's the answer to the prayer? Read your Bible, pray the prayer. Okay, in case you don't know, look at Ephesians 3. You know that we just read Ephesians 1:17 to 19. So look at Ephesians 3. Look at Ephesians 3. Paul gives you the answer. Look at Ephesians 3. So you must learn the... Sorry about that. You must learn the habit of reading your Bible. Are you in Ephesians 3? Look at Ephesians 3 from verse 1 to 4. Let's read verse 1 to 4 together. 1, 2, 3, go. This cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have believed of the dispensation, let's read verse 2 together again. 1, 2, 3, go. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to you. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Verse 4 together, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So what did Paul pray? That your eyes of understanding may be what? Enlightened. How is it going to happen? When you read. The word there, read, is anaginosko. Right? It's like having a comprehensive, well detailed attitude, or a well detailed slant to knowledge. Yeah, whereby when you read. So Paul says, I cease not to make mention of you in my prayer, cease not to pray for you daily, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, that is the revelation of him, that your eyes of understanding may be. So I pray that your eyes be enlightened. How will your eyes be enlightened? Your eyes of understanding will be enlightened when you read. So it means that as saints, we must not shy away from reading God's word. Say, I will not shy away from reading my Bible. So let's see a few examples of reading, and let's just see what that implies. Look at Psalm 30. Let's take a little time in the book of Psalms. Look at Psalm 30, verse 5. Are you in Psalm 30, verse 5? Look at Psalm 30, verse 5. It says, for his anger endureth but a moment. Now, there are two words that are not there in that verse, right? What are the two words? Endureth and but. So, for his anger, a moment. In his favor, life. Look at the next line. It says, weeping may endure for a what? For a night. But what? Joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Are we together? So we see something very important. In his favor is life. Please take note of that. In his favor is life. Now jump to Psalm 103. The same Psalm. Look at Psalm 103, verse 3. Let's look at Psalm 103, verse 1 to 3. Oh, praise Jesus. Are we in church this morning? Look at Psalm 103, verse 1. Let's read verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, 1, 2, 3, go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. What are the benefits? Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Verse 4, 1, 2, 3, go. Who redeemeth thy life from what? Destruction. Who crowneth thee with what? Loving kindness and tender. Verse 5, 1, 2, 3, go. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed. Verse 6, the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Verse 7, he made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of. Verse 8, 1, 2, 3, go. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Let's read verse 8 again together. 1, 2, 3, go. Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Verse 9. Can you see the east? His paragraph is in italics. Okay, right? Verse 10. He had not dealt with us after. Let's read that again. 1, 2, 3, go. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Look at verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Verse 12, 1, 2, 3, go. As far as the east is, figure of speech, right? From the west, so far as he removed our sins from us. So you see, God doesn't take into account sins. Are we together? God doesn't take into account sins. Are we together? Look at Psalm 106. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. Look at Psalm 106, verse 1. Are we there? Verse 1, 1, 2, 3, go. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy forever. For his mercy what? Endureth forever. Praise God. Look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 1. The next chapter, Psalm 107, verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed, let's read verse 2, 1, 2, 3, go. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know that song? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and redeemed, praise the Lord. So, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So, what is the redeemed of the Lord to say? You are redeemed in the real sense. His mercy endureth forever. Right? So, whom he hath redeemed from the what? The hands of the enemy. Say, I'm redeemed. So, God redeems from the hands of the enemy. Are we together? God looks for a way or looks for ways. Don't forget what I'm saying now, please. God looks for a way to redeem from the hands of the enemy. Are we together? Let me say it again. God is involved in redeeming, in rescuing from the hand of the enemy. Look at Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3. Don't let what happened last week happen this week. Praise God. Lamentations 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Some people are giving themselves expo. After Jeremiah. After Jeremiah, before Ezekiel. Are we together? Look at Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. Are we there? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. You see, God is a God of compassion and his compassion fails not. So it means that for every time you see as though God allowed man to be destroyed, it is not because his compassion failed. Are we here? Let me say that again. For every time you see that man is destroyed and it looks like God does nothing about it, it is not because his compassion failed. Bible tells you his compassion what? Fails not. So, look at it this way, dear saint. So, it means that if something evil happens, right, the first thing you should agree in your heart is not that God's compassion failed. Did you hear that? If something terrible happens to both Christians and non-Christians, right, the first thing you must have as a conclusion in your heart is that the compassion of God did not fail. So, it means that we will need to look for what failed. Amen? It means that we will need to look for what really failed. Let me say it again. If anything happens to man, right, it is not because God's compassion failed. That is a stated fact. So you must use this lens to look at Noah's ark. Are we here? You must use this lens to look at Sodom and Gomorrah. So was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? Was there destruction in Sodom and Gomorrah? Was it because the lost compassion failed? That is the first thing you must settle in your heart. Say, is compassion faileth not? What does the next verse now say? See what he now says in the next verse. He says what? They are what? New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So the compassion of the Lord faileth not. Yeah, so let me help you. So when he says they are new every morning, is it that God renews his compassion per morning? Are we here? Is it that God renews his compassion by morning? If God renews his compassion you get what I'm trying to say? If God renews his compassion per morning, it means that there's a tendency for his love to fail. So it's like full bar. You know your phone, 100%. Exactly. Then 11:59, you know, is now 2%. And that's where most of us charge our phones. Right? Then what happens? God will not be saying, hey, next day, come. Before you know it, 12:01. Shh. God doesn't use solar to charge his compassion. Praise God. So, that is actually a figure. So, when he says, his mercies are new every morning, it's just a figure of speech to show that every morning is a reminder that God is compassionate. Did you get that? His mercies are new every morning. Doesn't mean that every morning is renewing it. No. It just means that every new day of man's existence, right, is a reminder that God is merciful. Did that help somebody here? Did that help somebody here? So, the Lord's mercy, the Lord's compassion, it fails not. They are new every morning. It's only new as a reminder to man every morning. But to God is the same. Morning, night, the same. Evening, noon, the same. Afternoon, night, the same. His compassion faileth not. His compassion doesn't reduce. Then something will not happen. He will not amplify it. No. His compassion faileth not. So the faithfulness and the mercy of God, they are new every morning. So for every morning is a reminder to mankind to see the what? Compassion of God and the mercy of God. Are we here? Are we gone? Are we together? Are we together? Look at Micah 7. Micah. I wonder if you know where Micah is. Micah is after Jonah. Micah 7. Micah is after Jonah, before Nahum. So if you get to Habakkuk, just go back. If you get to Zephaniah, just go back. Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Nahum, then Micah. Praise Jesus. The mercies of God, they are new every morning. Every single day is a reminder to man's existence that God is merciful. Are we here? Look at Micah 7, verse 18. Are we there? Micah 7, are we there? Micah 7, verse 18. Let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retained not his anger forever because he delighted in what? Mercy. Verse 19, 1, 2, 3, go. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and though thou wilt cast all thy sins into the depth of the sea. Verse 20, 1, 2, 3, go. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy unto Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the what? Days of old. So, did God promise Abraham anything? Yes. Are we together? Did God promise Abraham anything? Yes. Did God promise to bless Abraham? Yes. What is the blessing of Abraham? The blessing of Abraham, Galatians makes you see. Galatians 3. The blessing of Abraham is the forgiveness of sins we received. Are we here? Have you gone home? I'll say that again. The blessing of Abraham is the blessing of forgiveness of sins that we have what? Received. Are we together? You know, I heard someone say some time ago, talking about how a believer cannot be broke because he's connected to the Abrahamic covenant. You are interesting, Massa. Right? Yeah, you're very interesting. Yeah, there is no covenant of wealth attached to the believer all the way from the lineage. Look at it now. Abraham's immediate great-grandchildren were not too rich. They were labor for 7 years. Is it 7 or 12? Right? Yeah? Yeah, so the great-grandchildren of Abraham were not by default rich because of Abraham's wealth. Please, what's the number? Oh, you didn't get. You didn't get. Yeah, so before they can get your greatness number, it has to be great into, what do you call this? N factorial. Yeah, for some of us that studied that aspect of Zion's course, praise God, right? So, you will be the greatest grandfather into bracket N factorial into bracket, do you understand? So, really, you are not connected to Abraham in reference to wealth. Are we together? Are we together? Are we together? So, when it says the blessings of Abraham, Galatians 3 makes you see the blessing of Abraham is the indwelling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah, so Abraham's blessings are mine. Hallelujah. Oh, I am blessed in the morning, noon, and what of noon? Abraham blessed me. That's the way we've added it now. I am blessed in the morning, in the noon, in the evening. What of night? Abraham blessings. Because evening is not night, praise God. Right? So Abraham's blessing is ours to the degree in which you believe the gospel. Have we shown that in scriptures before? Galatians 3, right? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Right? Those who through faith believe the message of the gospel. Yeah. So the blessings God promised to Abraham is the blessing of forgiveness of sins, not money. God didn't promise Abraham wealth. Let me say it better. God promised Abraham wealth, but not material wealth. Praise God. That's why Paul now tells that as the understanding may be like to see the riches of his glory. Right? The riches, the powerful power of God's power that has been demonstrated towards you. Are we together? So, it means that in looking at, remember 2 Timothy 3, all scriptures given by inspiration of God, profitable for our what? Doctrine. For what? Rebuke. For what? Correction. Right? Instruction in righteousness. So, it means that when you read Genesis to Malachi, you see God's saving promise or God's saving plan. Let me ask you a question. Remember, we've established the old, what you call the Old Testament books is not the Old Testament, right? So, Genesis to Malachi, Jesus never called it Old Testament. Are we here? Yeah, Jesus, not the apostles, none of them ever called or referred to Genesis to Malachi as what? Old Testament writings. No, they refer to them as the Word of God. Are we together? So Genesis to Malachi is as much the same word of God as Matthew to Revelation. That's troublesome, right? That's troublesome. Because a lot of our misconceptions about the character of God is from what you would have called Genesis to Malachi. Yeah, that's why you see, there are a couple of Jewish guys who don't want to hear you talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, Romans, Ephesians. The people like that, they don't want to hear it. All they believe in is either the what you call the Pentateuch, the Torah, right? Or you call the Genesis to Malachi. That is where their scriptures end. So if you want to teach that one God's love, what do you have to teach the person God's love? Genesis to Malachi. Right? How did God in Jesus, let me say it better, how did Jesus teach the people of his time God's love? Jesus taught them using what? Genesis to what? Malachi. So it means that we need to understand Genesis to Malachi to understand God. Are we here? You know, so we can't be believers who will shy away from those books. As an average believer knows where Ephesians is, Romans is, Philippians is, Corinthians is, Thessalonians is. Easiest of all, Revelation. It's not difficult to know Revelation now. Just close your Bible. Open from the back. Right? By the time you bypass all the concordance and all the everything, you will get to Revelation 22. Are we together? Yeah, but in the real sense, Revelation is built on Genesis to Malachi. Are we here? Jude is built on Genesis to Malachi. So as believers, we must go back to Genesis to Malachi to see what was written and how we need to read as intelligent students of the world. Say this morning, I will not sleep. Say, I bind every spirit of sleeping. Over. We need to painstakingly look into the details of what was written. Are we together? An average believer believes that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of homosexuality. Are we here? What is homosexuality? When people of the same sex are deriving pleasure from themselves, that is outside the pleasure of the office. Are we together? A lot of people still believe that that is why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Same thing with Noah's Ark. A lot of people believe Noah's Ark was destroyed because God wanted to start the creation afresh. Right? And angels were sleeping with people's daughters. And they were giving birth to who? Giants. Are we together? That's one of the most interesting doctrines you can hear. Very interesting. Very interesting. You know, like I would always say, one day, they will tell you that the angel that visited Mary slept with her. You say, oh, no wonder. You know, I've been saying something happened there. Why? Because you believe that there was a time on earth that angels were sleeping with women. So we need to pay attention. And you know, when you read through scripture, Genesis 7, 8, 9, you wouldn't see where it says angel. You only see son of God, sons of God, daughters of men. But we assume that the sons of God will be who? Angels. Right? So let's pay attention to what we want to study this morning. So we are looking into that very intricate part of our series, which is Sodom and what? Gomorrah. One thing you must know is that Moses wrote Sodom and what? Gomorrah's story. Let me help you ahead of time. Sodom and Gomorrah happened in history, then it became a doctrine. Please write that down. Please. A lot of things I will say, please write down. Don't admire me. We are students of God's word. So, if you point to history, you actually see a point where Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. But it was something that happened in history that later became what? A doctrine. Let me show you what I mean. Right? Let me show you what I mean. Now, remember, we spoke about Eden, right? We spoke about Eden. I spoke about Eden as a place used to teach the doctrine of what Adam rejected. Eden, a place, is debatable amongst theologians. A lot of theologians believe that Eden existed in Moses' time. Did you hear me? Right? So a lot of people believe that there was a Garden of Eden in Moses' time. A lot of other theologians believe that it happened. Anytime you shall want to believe it happened, just know what Moses used it to teach. Yeah? So Moses used teaching of Eden to write about what Adam rejected. So that's why you see, as a figure of speech, God drove Adam out of the garden. Have we taught that? So God drove Adam out of the garden was equal to God drove Cain out of the face of the... What does that simply mean? It means that Adam and Cain rejected what God had to offer. Right? Yeah? It goes back to show that there was not a time where snakes used to talk. Are we together? Are we together? There was not a time where snakes used to talk and stopped what? Talking. In the real sense, what happens? Moses uses a figure of speech, right? Which you call imagery, to use snake to represent the actions of the devil. Same thing applies to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah happened in history and became a doctrine across scriptures. Are we here? Are we here? Hope you're learning something. Now, let's look at something very interesting. Look at Genesis 10. We'll take a little time in Genesis this morning. Genesis 10, verse 19. Genesis 10, verse 19. Are we in Genesis 10? Let's read verse 19. Genesis 10, verse 19 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Was from Sidon, as thou comest to Gerar, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom and Gomorrah, and Adma, and Zebium, even Lasha. So from this, which of those cities can you relate to in today's time, day and time? Gaza, right? What other city there? Cana, right? What other city there? Gerar. Anyways, does this show that Sodom and Gomorrah had a geographical location on the earth's map? Did you get that? So this shows that what? There were literally geographical locations of Sodom and what? Gomorrah. Who is writing Genesis chapter 10? Moses. Look at chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 13. Let's see. Are we in Genesis 13, 13? Look at what it says. Look at verse 12. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent towards where? Sodom. Look at verse 13. 1, 2, 3, go. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Are we together? So were there men of Sodom? Were they men of Gomorrah? Was there a geographical location of Gomorrah? Was there a geographical location of Sodom? Beautiful. Look at chapter 14, verse 12. Look at chapter 14, verse 12. Look at Genesis chapter 14, verse 12. Genesis chapter 14, verse 12. Or look at verse 11. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. Let's read verse 12 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son. So who was Lot to Abraham? I'm here, nephew, cousin, brother, uncle. Yeah. Who was Lot to Abraham? Lot was Abraham's brother's son. So what will Lot call Abraham? Uncle. Are we here? I had a little twist of the Nigerian accent, right? So Abraham will say uncle, right? So he says what? And they took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in where? Sodom, and his goods, and what? Departed. We read Genesis 13 that shows that Lot built his tent towards Sodom. We read in Genesis 14 right now that Abraham's cousin, brother's son, niece rather, was taken from where? Sodom with his what? Goods. Look at Genesis 18 now. So, remember, hold on. Now, Abraham as an uncle, right? He saw that And what happened? Now look at verse 14. Look at verse 14. 1, 2, 3, go. And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he harmed his trained servant born in his own house. How many? 318. And pursued them unto Dan. So Abraham had 318 men born in his house as servants. Saints. Dear saints, how many men can take care of only their wife when they are pregnant? Abraham had 318 trained servants. See, forget it. Abraham was not poor. Think about it. Do you know a man on earth today that has 318 men working for him as servants, domestic chores, for instance? Do you know? Dangote. Hallelujah. Right? So, 318. He heard about the kidnap. That is kidnap. Is it kidnap? Do not start on Cardinal Road. You just kidnapped started today. Why did you do lots? Is that not kidnapping? Oh. What they did to him was they kidnapped Lot and his goods. What did Abraham do? Abraham took and instructed 318 servants. And he asked them to what? Pursue after the people that kidnapped Lot. Are we here? Look at the next verse. Verse 15, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of where? Damascus. Is Damascus a place today? Lovely. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the woman also, and the people. Are we here? So, Abraham pursued, and out of anger, in recovering his brother and the goods they stole from his brother, he still stole his own. Yes, now. Look at it now. He took the women of the city and their goods. Is in your Bible? Look at verse 16. And he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. Let's read verse 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with him at the valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale. Look at verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of where? So Melchizedek did not come from the throne of grace. Are we together? Are we here? Are we here? Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Are we here? For you to be the king of Salem, you had a father, you had a mother. Are we together? Are we here? So, Melchizedek, you could point to his father, or let me say it better, you could point to Melchizedek's father's grave or on his mother's grave. Melchizedek stayed in somebody's womb for 9 months. Are we together? So, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, now meets Abraham after his return from what? Ark kidnapping. What did I call it? Ark kidnapping. What you call rescue is an act of ark kidnapping. Because they kidnapped Lot. He went to go and kidnap Lot back and kidnap all the people that were in the place they kidnapped Lot and kept him. Are we together? Are we here? Beautiful. Did you see King of Sodom? Where we just read? So did Sodom have a king? Look at chapter 18. Chapter 18, Genesis 18, verse 17. Look at Genesis 18, verse 16. Praise God. Look at verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards where? And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Now look at verse 17. Let's read 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Hold your hands in Genesis 18 and go to Galatians 3. Galatians is in the New Testament. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Are we here? Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians is just before the book of Ephesians. Galatians 3, verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Are we there? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written. Everybody together. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Look at verse 14. 1, 2, 3, go. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Who? Through who? Jesus Christ. What does he really mean? Look at the next line. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So what is the blessing of Abraham? The blessing of Abraham is the promise of the Spirit through faith. Are we together? So go back to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18. Look at Genesis 18. Verse 18. Seeing that, remember, your hand should have been there. So, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be what? Blessed in him. For I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had what? Spoken of him. Look at verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of what? Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before who? The Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the what? Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the what? With the wicked. Right? So Moses records in Genesis 18 that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were dwelling in grievous sins. Is that your Bible? Look at it again. Verse 20, 18:20, Genesis 18:20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom is great, and because their sin is what? Grievous. All together. So now the question is, what was the sin of what? Sodom and Gomorrah. All together. Now, let me tell you something. Let me ask you a question. For there to be a sin, it means there was a law, right? It means there was an instruction, right? It means there was a charge or a command. Amen? Okay, let me ask you a question. If you go to the main road, right? What makes your parking in a place a sin or not sin? The sign that says no parking, or the sign that is not there at all. Yeah, I was parked somewhere, and the guy told me no. Actually, I saw the sign, but it says no parking, and I just entered into those two no parking. Right, as I came and met me, can't you see no parking? I said it says no parking, not no waiting. Parking is when you park your car, off the engine, wind up, lock your door, and walk away. Praise Jesus. As long as my car was on, my AC was on, I didn't put my handbrake up. That's what? Waiting. You just look at it. When you get to traffic light, are you parked or you are waiting? Is that not what I was doing there? Yeah, well, no, I won't try that in close to barracks. I only try it where I know is praise Jesus. Where I know is Jemil and Kemi or Shepherd Hills.
Shepherd heals guards. Praise God. You understand when you get home. So some of you will go like, oh, that's the pastor was talking about your interbank. So in the real sense, right? So it is the instruction on the signboard that determines if what I did is a sin or not. So for Moses to show you that Sodom and Gomorrah sin was grievous, it means that there was something prior to that. Now, mind you, what would have been prior to that is not the Ten Commandments. Remember, where do you find Ten Commandments in the Bible? Exodus. Where are we? Genesis. Are we here? What would have been prior to them as a law or an instruction or a charge would not be the Ten Commandments. So we need to investigate what really was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. Are we here? Are we going home? Beautiful. So look at Genesis 12. Go back to three chapters before there. So if you are reading Genesis 18, where it tells you their sin was grievous, it means prior to that, you must have seen the charge or the status or the command or whatever. Right? So go to Genesis 12, verse 1. For there to be a sin, there must have been an established status or a command or an instruction that was communicated to them and they knew about it. Did you get that? Yeah, I cannot go to a place and park and someone now tells me, do you understand? Imagine you go to a place and park and no signboard tells you no parking. Someone now comes and meets you and say, how would they say it? Your sense should tell you, do you understand, that you should not have parked here. Or they'll tell you, or imagine someone tells you that you're supposed to know by the Spirit. Do you understand? Imagine someone just look at you and tell you that it's something that everybody knows. So it means that for Moses to qualify what the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was, which was grievous, it means that there was an already established commandment. Are we together? Genesis 12, verse 1. Now, are we there? Genesis 12. Please, let's read the Bible together. 1, 2, 3, go. Genesis 12, verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, and unto the land that I will what? So, was there a promised land? Look at it. Was there a promised land? What does Genesis 12, verse 1 shows you? Get thee out of the land, and go to the land I will show you. Is that a promise? Is that a promise? Are we here? Is that a promise? What was the promise about? About a land. Can we call that promised land? Look at verse 2. And I will make thee a what? Great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. I will bless them that what? Bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So what is the blessing of Abraham that all the family of the earth receives from Abraham? The promise of the what? Spirit. Are we together? So without beating around the bush, in the real sense, the land that God promised Abraham is the land of the Spirit. Did you get that? Without beating around the bush, we just read Galatians 3, verse 13. Curses anyone that can on a tree, right? And it now tells you in verse 14 that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles who through faith believe in the gospel, so to say. Right? So it means that the land that land that God promised Abraham ahead was the land of the what? The Spirit. Are we together? So the promised land is a spirit land. Praise God. Yeah, the promised land is a spirit land. The promise of Abraham about a land is not about a physical land. Anybody that gets to the land of Abraham that was promised to Abraham has the Spirit of God by default. Are we here? Beautiful. So, look at verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Are we there? Are we here? Look at the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. And Abraham was how many years old? 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Let's read verse 5, everybody together. Verse 5, Genesis chapter 12, verse 5. 1, 2, 3, go. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten from Haran, and they went forth to the into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So, the promised land would have thought was Canaan. Did they get to Canaan? Did they get to Canaan? Did you see that? So, there was a promised land to Abraham. There was a promised land to Isaac. There was a promised land to Jacob. By extension, the people of Israel. What was the promise to the people of Israel? That they shall get to the what? Who led them to the promised land? Brasam, who led them? Joshua completed the mission. Who started it? Right? So, Abraham, you would have thought that Abraham's promised land was the Canaan he entered in Genesis 12, verse 5. Abi? You would have thought that the promised land that the children of Israel will enter is the land flowing with milk and honey in Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. Right? What does the writer Paul now tell you about the promised land? It's about the blessing of Abraham, which is the indwelling of the Spirit, which is what you call God's heavenly Jerusalem. Are we together? Hebrews 12. You have come to Zion. To what? Mount Zion? The city of the living God. So the land of the living God that God promised Abraham is in the fact that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in his seed, which is the person. Oh, I'm saying a lot this morning. Genesis chapter Galatians 3:16-17, right? The seed not as of many, but the seed which is who? Christ. Right. Now look at what now happens in that Genesis again. So God promised a land. The Jewish people have the land of Canaan in mind as God's promise. How do you know? Look at Exodus. What I just taught right now. Let me just show you in scriptures. Exodus 6, verse 3. Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. Are we Exodus 3, 6? Look at verse 2. 1, 2, 3, go. Genesis, Exodus 6, verse 2. Please check your scriptures. 1, 2, 3, go. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto who? Abraham. Is that Genesis 12? Abraham. Unto Isaac. Unto Jacob. By the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Let's read verse 4 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. Hold on. Did Abraham enter the land of Canaan in Genesis 12, verse 5? Did he enter the land? Beautiful. So, look at verse 4 again. 1, 2, 3, go. I have... Dear saints. Please open your Bible, right? And let's read together. Verse 4. 1, 2, 3, go. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of the pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, gracious Father. Ephesians 2 comes to mind. Look at verse 5. 1, 2, 3, go. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I remember my covenant. What's the covenant? Wherefore, verse 6, 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, say unto them, Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of bondage, and I will redeem you, stretch hand, with a great... So, God's plan was... Listen to me, everyone. God's plan was to redeem a people with his outstretched arm into a promised land. Are we here? Yeah? Is that outstretched arm? Is that the word... Is that the phrase called Olor Gogoro? Is that the phrase? Is that the phrase? So that's the phrase. So, that's the Greek way of saying... Your hand is outstretched. Are we together? What does God's hand, outstretched hand, do? God's outstretched hand brings a people from a bondage into a promised land. So, as God's outstretched hand brought you into a promised land, how did you get to the promised land? By believing the message of the gospel. So, in believing the message of the gospel, you have received the blessing of Abraham, which is the indwelling of the Spirit. So, you have come to Mount Zion, the land, right, of the living God. So, the General Assembly of the firstborn, the General Assembly of the church, rather, the firstborn of the church, so to say, Hebrews 12 and 29, thereabout. Right? So, what am I doing this morning? I'm trying to show you that when you see God's promise in the Bible, it is first the promise of the Spirit before any other thing. So, the promise of the Spirit might be exemplified in the sample of faith exhibited by the people, but your mind must see the promise of the Spirit. So, did you read Genesis 12 this morning? Well, read Genesis 12. God said, I'll take you to a promised land, right? If you had thought the promised land was Canaan, did Abraham get to Canaan in Genesis 12:5? Lovely. When you read Exodus chapter 6, was there a promise to the children of Israel about Canaan, the promised land? If you read further in Exodus, did they get to the promised land? Yes, they did, eventually. Through the hands of who? Joshua. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, you didn't get that. So, so Joshua took them into the what? Promised land. But that wasn't still God's promised land. God's promised land had to do with the Spirit. Are we here? Are we gonna? Now go back to Genesis 15. Remember, we're doing Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15, verse 1. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Are we here? Look at Genesis 15, verse 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So, in the land of God, what is the reward in the land? God himself. Hello? Hello? Look at this scripture. In God's land, who is the shield? God. What is the reward in the land? God. What is the good of the land? What is the milk and honey in the land? Are we here? Are we here? So in God's promised land flows with milk and honey. Yeah? You know, some of us in Nigeria, the best of promised land we know that flows with milk and honey is Canada. You are smiling. People's smile came out brighter. Yeah. So it was the best of good land with milk and honey is what? The UK. Praise God. Some of us is the US. Some of us are powered in Norwich, South Africa. Are we together? Praise God. Abroad, all abroad is abroad. Amen. All abroad is outside the country. So, in the real sense, the land of God flows. USA is not the land of God flowing in milk and honey. See, it's not by them writing in God we trust on their dollar. Are we together? There's somebody said, how many heads are on the US currency? One head, right? Have you? How many heads are on Nigeria 1,000 naira notes? Praise Jesus. Say, I'm born of God. I'm from Zion. Praise God. The economy of this world has no say on me. Okay, it does. So, in the real sense, right, the land of God that flows with milk and honey is what? The land of the Spirit, which is what? The land of the indwelling of God. Say, I house God. Say, God's life is in me. Say, I'm full of God's power. I'm full of God's life. Now, look at Genesis 15, we're in verse 2. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? What do you suppose the answer of what will you give me, seeing I go childless? What he has said in verse 1, that I am your what? Shield and exceeding great reward. Lovely. Right? So, he says, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer. Of where? Damascus. Look at verse 3. Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go.
said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine." Verse 4, 1, 2, 3, go. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir." Look at verse 5. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now towards heaven and tells the star." Do you see the wordplay that Moses is using there? You didn't see that? Look at verse 5 again. "And God brought him forth abroad." Is that correct? Is that correct? Please, I beg you, don't be distracted. Verse 5 again, 1, 2, 3, go. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said, So shall thy seed be." Hold your hand in Genesis 15 and go to Galatians. Remember, "So shall thy seed be," where you see the stars. Galatians, look at Galatians. Where's Galatians again? Just before Ephesians. Are you in Galatians 3? Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Galatians 3:16. Are you there? Galatians 3:16. Let's read 1, 2, 3, go. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, unto thy seed." Where is that reading from? Genesis 15. Did you see that? Look at it again. "And he said not as of too many seeds, but as of one seed, and thy seed which is Christ." So is your hand still in Genesis? So go to Genesis. Go back to Genesis. Genesis. Praise Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Let me give you let me put that into perspective for you. Let me put it into perspective for you. You know, Abraham was complaining. Amen. That he didn't have any child. What did God say to him? Sorry. What did God say to him? Look at verse 5. "Then he brought him outside and said, Look now towards where? And count the stars, if you are able to what? Number them. And he said to him, So shall your seed be." We went to Galatians 3 verse 17. Who is the seed that God promised to Abraham? The seed of Christ. So don't lose track. Abraham was complaining to God he didn't have a biological child. God said, "I promise you a child." Did you see that? Abraham was saying, "Lord, what do I have?" God already told him, "I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward." Abraham said, "But you see, I go childless. Give me a child." God said, "Yes, I promise you a child. But the child is about a seed." Paul now tells you the seed God promised Abraham. So God's promised child to Abraham was not Isaac. Hey. Did you hear that? God's promised seed to Abraham was the seed which is Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 16, 17. "Now to Abraham was the promise made. Yeah, so shall thy seed be." Paul is emphatic. Paul knows that if you look at the tenses used in Genesis chapter 15, you will see, "Count the stars, so shall your seeds be." So you would have thought that the seeds of Abraham will be plenty children. Are we not together? God asked Abraham to go out and count the stars. What you read in Genesis 15. But what did Paul make you see about the counting? So it means that Abraham was not asked to go and count the stars. Abraham will now do stars. He'll now say,
1, 2, 3, 4.
So he'll now say, "Oni, come." He'll say, "Leave me, I'm counting the stars." Where was I? 5, 6, 7, 8. Wow. Because the stars are plenty. I will have plenty children. No. Paul now tells you, he said seed as of one, not as of many, to thy seed, which is Christ. Are we together? So, the promise of God to Abraham was about... So, that's why he now tells you, in thy seed shall the what? families of the earth be blessed. Who's that seed? In Christ. So Christ, we have received a blessing in Christ, which was a promise to Abraham. Did you get that? I'll say that again. We have received the blessings in Christ. Yeah, remember that the blessing of Abraham. So the blessing of Abraham is found in where? In Christ. Praise Jesus. What is that? That means the indwelling of the Spirit. So it means this should change your ideology about God asking Abraham to go and kill Isaac. Are we here? Are we here? Take now thy son. Take now thy only begotten son. Are we together? What does Bible now tell you? Bible now tells you that Isaac now said, Daddy, hey, Daddy, you know I know you. Daddy, you know I know when it's time for sacrifice. I know what you do and what you need. What was Isaac doing? Isaac, let's just assume he carried firewood on his head. He was going. He was going. He was going. Daddy, there's a question in my heart I want to ask, oh, but I believe you. He was going. He got to the point when he was getting closer to the altar. Daddy, I see fire. I see firewood. I see wood. I see you. I see me. I don't see the sacrifice. Do you want to imagine what it feels like following your father to bush for sacrifice? What did Abraham say? God, Abraham now said, God himself will provide the sacrifice. Did you get that? God himself will provide. So, God will provide himself as the sacrifice. Are we together? Are we together? So, God was not trying Abraham's faith. Because God already knows from time that he will be the one to provide himself as a sacrifice. Are we here? Are we here? So, look at chapter 7 again. So, you would have thought that, oh, as Abraham now say, God, you know, I don't have any child. Then God now say, don't worry, my son. I promise you. See, for light and light, God will say that. You see the stars? Count them. You know you cannot count them. Your children shall be plenteous, just like the stars. Yeah, it is God's vision. Praise God. Listen to me, everyone. It is God's vision that the children of Abraham be as plenty as the stars. Amen? I'll say it again. It is God's vision that as the waters covers the sea, so should Abraham's children be. Who are Abraham's children? You are only an Abraham's child to the degree in which you receive the blessings of Abraham. That means what? You associate yourself with the indwelling of the Spirit. That is what you believe the gospel. Are we together? So, Abraham's blessings are mine. Yes, why are they yours? They are yours because you have the indwelling of the Spirit. Praise God. Right? So, to thy seed, which is Christ. Look at verse 7 again. You see? But let me now show you something. You know that Paul's audience did not have the book of Galatians. Are we here? Are we here? Paul's audience did not have the book of Galatians. So it means that Paul thought about the seed of Abraham from Genesis to Malachi. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? When Paul was writing to Galatians, did they say, open your Bible to the book of Galatians? He was just writing the letter to them. So it means that for anyone to have thought that the seed of Abraham was Christ, they only did it strictly between Genesis to Malachi. What a knowledge. Are we here? So look at Genesis 15, verse 7 again. It says what? He said, look at verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards the heavens and tell the stars. Yeah, and if thou be able to number them, and he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. Now look at verse 6, where we are going to. Please look at your Bibles. Verse 6, Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. 1, 2, 3, go. And he believed in the God, and he counted it to him for what? Dear saints, what do you believe to get righteous? Is it in that you will have a child or believing in Christ? Romans 10. Romans 10, 8. Romans 10, 9. Romans 10, 10. So,
What did Abraham really believe in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6? He believed in the seed, which is Christ. Are we here? Are we here? Praise God. Look at verse 6 again. And he believed. So, can we say he believed in the resurrection? Right? So, what do you suppose that God was showing Abraham in that conversation? Let me ask you a question. Is it similar to Moses seeing the back of God? Hello? Is it similar? Is it similar? Yeah? Moses saw the back of God. Have we explained that in church? Yeah? So, it doesn't mean that God now covered his eye. You now say, close the eyes. I'm now in front of you. God now went in front. Say, Moses, you now say, yes, Lord. Are your eyes still closed? Moses now say, yes, my father. You now say, okay, open my eyes. What do you see? Moses say, father, I see your back. I can't see your front, though. You now say, yes, that is what you will see because you cannot see my front and leave. That's cartoon. Are we together? So, what did Moses do? Moses saw ahead the resurrection of the seed. What did Abraham do? Abraham saw ahead the resurrection of the seed. And what happened? He believed and it was counted unto him as what? Righteousness. Look at verse 7. 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to what? Inherit it. Praise Jesus. Are we in church or have you gone home? We're in church, right? So, it means that a message of the seed was given to Abraham. Are we here? Now, that message given to Abraham, when Abraham preaches it, would everybody believe the same? Hello? Will everybody believe the same? Are we here? Let me ask you a question. Did Abraham... Okay, let me ask it this way. Okay, let me not ask it this way. Let me say it this way. Was Abraham giving a message? What is the message about? The message of the seed. You know, we can summarize our entire Christian faith to seed. Are we together? Are we together? We can summarize our entire Christian faith to seed. So, even though we know we have a lot of brothers who always talk about that seed. Yeah, some people abuse some words, and so you are even scared of using it in any of your teachings. Are we together? You know, some words are totally abused to a very large extent, and some people you are scared of it because you are bothered about what the implication it will mean. Yeah, you just go and see it. Imagine someone just comes to church and the way he hears me say a seed. Oh, God gave you a seed. He gave himself as a seed. You know, it revalidates what you must have been hearing about sow your seed. So, our Christian faith has lots and lots of implications. You know, it's like this word agape. Right? You know agape? Yeah, similar to what I've explained before about Zoe, right? Yeah, I would say Zoe is not the life of God, right? Remember that? And agape is not the love of God. Remember that? Are we here? So, you know that we have assumed that agape is the love of God. You know that we have assumed that Zoe is the love of God, is the life of God. Are we together? So you know that. So it means that as a preacher, for instance, if I'm going to say certain things regarding agape, I must qualify what I'm saying. Are we together? The word Zoe was used for life of this world. First Corinthians will tell you. Matthew 17, Matthew 19 will tell you. John 3 will tell you. Right? But the only Zoe we have, for instance, is only to a degree in which we add eternal or everlasting before the Zoe. Are we together? So, imagine I want to sing a song tomorrow. And I'm saying, Zoe, 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 Zoe. Do you understand how, in the real sense, I'm singing of doctrine? But imagine I say, let's go all Greek, because the Greek word for this everlasting is Ainos. So you say, Ainos away, Ainos away, Ainos away, oh, Ainos away. Is that sound doctrine? Yes. What makes it sound doctrine? Inos in front of Zoe. Are we together? So if I say, agape is your love, agape is your love, love, agape is your love, agape is your love. Eh? In the real sense, yeah, I'm using the word love to qualify a type of love. But if you don't qualify what you are talking about, you are singing off doctrine. So this leads back to where I'm talking coming from. So there are certain words in the Bible that you cannot take away from your Christian faith. See, no matter how much a pastor abuses the word seed, you really will not be able to teach successfully without using the word seed. Are we together? Are we together? So look at it carefully. So he says that in thy seed shall the nation of the earth be blessed. Now he now tells you something very important. He says that, and Abraham believed in the seed. Amen. So if there's a message of the seed, I'll close here. If there's a message of the seed, there is a default, or rather, the message comes open to two ends or two parties to choose whichever they want to receive. Let me say it better. For every message, there are two sides. Did you get that? Is that true, Sister Esther? Yeah? For every message, there are two sides. You look at it this way. If my brother Stanley goes out and runs inside, and he says, dog, 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 and he's running, all of us here can only be on two sides. One side is what? You run along. He leads the path. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. What is the second part? You stay. Are we together? Dear saints, your staying doesn't mean you're indifferent, though. You know. You know now. Your staying is because you know that to a degree you are not scared. The way we really know where you are is when the dog shows face. But you know you are not on defense. Are we together? That's why John 3:16 now tells you, for God in such a manner loved the world in that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have a last. Verse 36 now tells you, he says, the wrath of God abideth on them who believe not. Now, let me end here. God sets a principle on earth, and there's a template in which man is to follow. I'll say it better. There are principles on earth that God has already established. Let me now end in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Are we in Genesis 8? Are we in Genesis 8? Can we read Genesis chapter 8, verse 22? 1, 2, 3, go! While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Hello, dear saints. You know, for every time you drop the seed, you need to give it time before you see the harvest. Are you having a go? Are you having a go? Who says that? So it's all your own time to know how somebody talks. Are you right now? Praise Jesus. Right? So there is seed that you have to drop. Dear sister, right? Any money in your hand that cannot meet your need, you sow as a seed and give it time. For the Bible tells you, you see, right from the beginning, the principle of seed sowing has been established. Right? It says what? Seed. Give it time. Harvest. Have you sown that seed today? If you've sown the seed, give it more time. For though it may tarry, the better Habakkuk. For though it may tarry, wait for it. Yeah? For you know God's time. My brother say, why am I not that kind of preacher? I say, if I want to preach, I can collect your money. You want to drop something? Please give him basket. Let him. You know, we need the money for the gospel. You know, it's very shameful when you see believers loud on the fact that we need the money for the gospel and they don't reach out to souls. The gospel needs money. The gospel needs money. Eh? You see, God knows that the gospel needs money to thrive. Yeah, who doesn't? Money will eat anything. Do you get what I said? There's nothing you will add money to that you will not do better. If somebody's giving one 1 billion here every Sunday, you know what I'll do? I will call the owner of CNN and tell him, you see, that's your quest you do by 8 p.m. I want God's word prophesied. How much is he giving me the bill?
You know, I heard of a very rich pastor in Nigeria. Very good, beautiful thing he does. If he tells you he wants to use this venue for church, and you say, no, he will buy the whole building. money stops nonsense. Huh? He said, I heard he has done it severally. He will just go to a place and he say, you want it? He said, he just buy the whole property. Praise God. Money really stops. But the truth is that the gospel needs men who are willing in their hearts to go before money. If you don't go in obedience to the instruction, you will use your money to sponsor your laziness. That's why you have people say things like what? In the church, there are three sets of people. They are the goers, they are the intercessors, and the givers. They are the goers, the givers, and the intercessors. Yeah, not everybody will be a goer. That's why Jesus did not have common sense to tell you that go ye into all the world, some of you. Eh? No, they are the goers. We, our own is just to intercede. Me and Brother Steve, we are good in prayer. Don't worry, just leave us for there. Let's just be staying at the back. We are, as you are there, muscles are one. Muscles are one. Then you now sit in your car. What do you need? Sir, we want to go to Maraba and win the place of God. How much do you need? Name it. The whole city is yours. 2 billion naira. Take it. Come catch it. Pastor is going to come and collect money tomorrow. You see? So, in the real sense, when the Bible tells you seed time and harvest time, don't be covetous to separate the word. In your Bible, it's the same word. Check it. You see it? They're laughing. You see it? You see? Did he tell you seed, comma, time? See, there's problem. You see that? Check it again. Look at it. Check it again. Just check it again. Look at Genesis 8:22. Did he tell you seed, comma, time? It's a single Greek word, sir. It's one word, ma. Right? Seed time, harvest. So that is a structure that God has put on the earth. Right? What should your mind go to when you see seed time and harvest? Agri. It tells you cold and what? And heat. It tells you what summer and winter. So that same principle of seed time and harvest applies to even the resurrection. Christ is the seed. In due time, plants himself as a seed, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies. It abideth alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much more fruit. What is the much fruit? Harvest. This is the template. Also for you, when you believe the gospel, that's your seed time. What do you reap? Everlasting life. Are we together? So there's a principle on earth such that a message that is given has the repercussion and the what? What will you call it? I don't know. Repercussion and the reward. What's the reward of believing the message of the gospel? Eternal. What's the reward of believing or not believing? Eternal damnation. Have you learned something this morning? So, what I did today, Wednesday, we take it a step further. What are we dealing with? So, did I justify what I said in the beginning? A little gist. The only gist we had about Sodom and Gomorrah today was in the fact that what? We established that they had a geographical what? Bow your heads down, just pray for a few moments while we round up this morning.